Oh, hey, Aiden Robbins.
Hey, Kat Oddie.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Great, in fact. Things are great. That's... Things are super, super, super great. Super great.
That's awesome. That's good to hear.
So great that I had to stutter to say it. And yourself, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I'm pretty exhausted, but I'm having a nice old time. Thank you.
Well, that's what I like to hear when I talk to you.
Yep.
Is nice old times.
Yep. What are we
doing? I'm super excited about this, so I kind of feel like we should just dive in.
All right, let's go for it.
Super psyched. Anyway, welcome to the Should I Worry About This podcast, where we talk about things that we worry about and let you know whether those things are worth worrying about or not. You can find us online on our website, shouldiworryaboutthis.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Worry Podcast, and on iTunes and Stitcher and various podcasting outlets. So that's what I got.
Sweet.
What do you got?
Well, I got a thing to talk about. So Eden.
That's me. Yep.
I love these podcasts and I love podcasting with you.
Is this going to be a meta story?
Yeah. I mean, I really, really do. But they're also really challenging for me. Not because making them is actually that hard. It's all stuff I enjoy, you know, research on a fun topic. Enjoy that, you know, chat with my buddy pal Eden.
Yeah.
Love that. That's fun.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
But the amount of energy it takes me to sit down and do a couple of hours of research is actually insane. Like, while researching asteroids last week, I literally spent 3 hours online clicking on puppies singing the Frozen theme song and doing a packet of easy level old New York Times crossword puzzles. And,
oh my God.
And like, only when I barely had enough time to research, like, to actually make it, will I ever suck it up and just get it done. This happens with this podcast all the time. This podcast is really...
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm a master procrastinator, and I don't have the problem as much when it's work. I don't know why. Maybe because I don't care about that as much. But like, for some reason. So my question to you is, should I worry about this? Is the short burst of stress I feel to like necessary for me to be productive? And is it hurting my health and my life? And what should I do? Should I worry about procrastinating so much, Eden?
Oh, man, that is an excellent question. Actually, all those questions are excellent questions.
Thank you. I'm excited to talk
about them. Interesting. Well, first, my question is, do you have issues with things other than the podcast when it comes to procrastination?
Oh, yes.
Similar kind of scenario. The puppies singing Frozen thongs.
Yeah,
frozen
the thong thongs. Song. Puppies singing the thong song. And
I would totally do that.
Which is our next venture. You should definitely figure that one out. But I do. It's usually with things that I care about. And that I'll stress about them and instead of just enjoying, because the thing that's so weird about the podcast is like if I could also be online researching a totally different topic for 3 hours instead of the one that I'm supposed to be doing the podcast.
Right.
It's not the act of researching that's the problem.
Yep.
It's the knowledge that it's going to be, you know, I'm going to have to talk about it shortly. So I don't know why. It makes no sense.
I know why. And I am so excited because I have some answers for you.
Excellent.
And it's so exciting. Okay. So first off, what is procrastination? It is a complicated failure of self-regulation. And experts define it as the voluntary delay of some important task that we intend to do, despite knowing that we'll suffer as a result.
Okay.
You're delaying it even though you know you're going to suffer because of it.
Right. And I know I'm going to eventually have to do it anyway. Like,
yep,
I'm not going to be able to get out of it.
No. So Joseph Ferrari, who is the associate professor of psychology at DePaul University in Chicago, says that real procrastinators tell themselves five lies.
Ooh,
are you ready for these?
Yes.
Number one, they overestimate the time they have left to perform tasks.
Okay.
They underestimate the time it takes to complete tasks.
Okay.
They overestimate how motivated they will feel the next day, the next week, the next month, or whenever they are putting things off too.
Okay.
They mistakenly think that succeeding at a task requires that they feel like doing it.
Interesting. True. True.
And then they mistakenly believe that working when they're not in the mood is suboptimal.
Okay. Yeah.
Those are the five lies that people tell themselves.
Interesting. I think that I don't know that I agree with the first two, because I feel like a lot of the time I need to block out a huge amount of time to get something that's very small done. And then that's why I can push it off and push it off and push it off until...
Interesting. Well, I think that kind of fits into it too. It's just like you're self-aware enough to know that you're going to do this.
Yeah.
So maybe those two don't fit, but I think that like for a lot of people that they do.
Mm-hmm. How long do you set aside, just as a side note, how long do you set aside to research these things?
It depends on how complicated it is, but it usually, what I've started doing is I will just do a Google search for the topic, open up a bunch of tabs, like maybe about 10, and then I'll take a little time to scan the articles to see if they're relevant and kind of start to learn the stuff, and then I'll go back and like take notes later. So I guess all told, maybe like two and a half hours, 3 hours, something like that.
Okay. Yeah, that's about how much I do, but I also set aside about 48 hours to get it done.
That's funny. Also, though, procrastinators actively look for distractions, especially ones with low commitment.
Like puppies singing Frozen theme songs.
Exactly. Yep. Or video games or email or Twitter. And the thing is, the dirty little secret is that procrastinators distract themselves as a way of regulating their own emotions. Like fear of failure.
Yes. That is a huge one for sure. Yep. It's like, this push it off. Yeah. Because
you might notice the connection to imposter syndrome here.
Yes, absolutely. I was going to say that. It seems like there's thematic
threads
being
linked.
Pulled throughout. Yeah.
And then, like you said, surprise, surprise, it's bad for your health. Obviously, procrastinating creates elevated levels of stress hormones, which, of course, wears you down. It can actually weaken your immune system. And then here's a fun thing. It actually puts you at risk for poor health because you're just as likely to delay seeking treatment for medical problems as you are to delay everything else.
Interesting. I feel like that's also not true of me because the minute that I'm like, that looks weird, I immediately go to the doctor. If I'm like, I got a new freckle, they're like, leave us alone.
Well, maybe your anxiety sort of mitigates some of this stuff,
yep.
I think.
I think that's true, yeah.
That's interesting. Procrastinating can also, it can keep you awake at night, so it can affect your sleep. It doesn't help relationships either because it can make your loved ones resentful because it shifts the burden of responsibilities onto them.
Ooh, interesting. Just so, because I'm like, I don't have time to do the grocery shopping or whatever.
Right. Because they know, because people can tell when like it's a real excuse and when it's a procrastinating excuse.
Right, totally.
So, okay, I'm going to do a mini experiment on you.
Oh, yay.
Yeah. Imagine you are in a class where you have to write 3 research papers in 3 weeks.
Okay.
But you can set your own due dates. You just have to stick to them or else you fail the class.
Okay.
All right? So your 3 options for the due dates are turn in your papers once a week, so one paper once a week for 3 weeks.
Okay.
Pick 3 deadlines whenever you want, or turn them all in on the last day.
So I would, because this is, I would be setting them ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
I would do 1 paper a week for 3 weeks, but I would leave it till the last night before that one paper was due to write it.
Interesting.
Because I'm an aspirational non-procrastinator.
You're an aspirational procrastinator. That's. Yeah. I wonder if they have different types like that. I didn't come across anything, but I wonder.
Mm-hmm.
So this was actually an experiment. The same choice was offered to students in a 2002 study conducted by Klaus Wurtenbrock and Dan Ariely, who has written a bunch of books that you may have heard of.
Okay.
The 3 groups had to do this assignment, and Class A turned in all 3 papers on the last day of class. Class B had to pick 3 different deadlines and stick to them, and Class C had to turn in 1 paper a week.
Okay.
So Class C, who had the 3 specific deadlines, did the best.
Okay.
Class B, who had to pick deadlines ahead of time but had complete freedom, did second best. And the group whose only deadline was the last day, Class A, did the worst.
Yep. Makes sense.
So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. We'll get back to that in a second. But anyway, so there are a couple different kinds of procrastinators. And this may be, there are chronic procrastinators who have perpetual problems finishing tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are situational procrastinators who delay based on the task itself.
Interesting. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Perfect storm of procrastination occurs when an unpleasant task meets a person who is very impulsive and low in self-discipline. So that not everybody is like that, but like that can be a real big problem.
I feel like I feel like I have really good self. I feel like I am disciplined. It's just on these specific weird. And the thing weird is that it's the podcast. Like,
that's my fun thing. I know, but like I've got, this is the next thing I'm going to talk about because I think this is where I thought things got super interesting, but I got to finish this thought.
Okay, sorry.
First.
Okay. Go for it.
Most procrastinators tend towards self-defeat.
Okay.
But they can get there either from a negative place, like fear of failure or perfectionism, imposter syndrome, what have you, or they can come from a positive place, which is just the joy of being tempted by things.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know any procrastinators like that. I feel like I know more people who are afraid of failure.
Interesting.
Kind of stuff.
I don't know. There is that little part where you're like during finals, I sort of love the like collaborative atmosphere of we're fuckedness in the library at a certain time.
Yeah.
And like, what else can we do? What else? Like, let's go to the grocery store and buy like our body weight in peanut butter M&Ms and just hang out until 2 a.m. when we actually start studying.
Right. Well, that's, I mean, I'm going to get into that too, because I think people get really intoxicated by this whole like pressure, like last minute pressure. And they think that they work really well under pressure. So like procrastination isn't such a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Or they think it's like kind of a cool, fun thing or collaborative thing or whatever. And we'll get into that in a second, because that's actually just not true. But here's where I thought things were super interesting. So historically, procrastination has been talked about in terms of like a time management problem. You can't like manage your time. You can't figure out how long things take, or et cetera, et cetera. And economists still tend to think of it this way. The idea is that procrastinators calculate the fluctuating utility of certain activities. So like pleasurable ones have more value early on, and tough tasks become more important as the deadline approaches.
Okay.
But some psychologists are starting to see it as an inability to regulate moods and emotions. Mm. So it's not a time management thing as much as it is you have these feelings that keep you from doing stuff. So like studies have found that procrastinators have accompanying feelings of guilt, shame, or anxiety with their decision to delay doing stuff. And that suggests there's much more to the story than just time management.
Yeah, totally. That's totally true.
Right. So in other words, a poor concept of time can exacerbate the problem, but an inability to manage your emotions seems to be the foundation of procrastination, okay? Which I was like, oh, yeah.
Totally makes sense.
I also think that this emotional angle can be really helpful in figuring out how to beat it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are addressing the emotions rather than just the symptoms.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Could I one day not be a procrastinator?
I think so.
Is that even in my control? Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So there are a lot of, and in my research, there are a lot of crazy names of people who do research in this field. So I'm just going to like not say any of them.
Okay.
Because I can't pronounce them. So I'm just going to steal their info and not attribute anything.
Okay. Sounds good. We'll just pretend you figured all this out.
Yeah. I totally figured it all out. So the idea is that if you're so focused on managing your current moods, your anxiety, your fear, your imposter syndrome, that you end up missing opportunities to learn how to correct your behavior. Mm-hmm. So that you don't then have to do the same kind of mood management in the future. So like you're so focused on like, how can I not feel anxious? I need to not feel anxious right now.
Mm-hmm. That you run away from the task.
You run away from like figuring out what it is that's going on.
Yep.
So that you don't end up in this cycle of procrastination.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So, okay. So there was this study and it had, it assessed 80 students for procrastination. And the participants read descriptions of stressful events caused by unnecessary delay. For example, a person returned from vacation, they noticed a suspicious mole, but put off going to the doctor for a long time, which created a worrisome situation. This is verbatim, pretty much what they said. So there's a sunny vacation, suddenly a worrisome mole. So when they were asked about it, the procrastinators tended to say things like, at least I went to the doctor before it really got worse.
Huh.
And this response is called downward counterfactual.
Okay, that seems like a dumb name for it.
It's the desire to improve your mood in the short term. So like a procrastinator would rarely say things like, if only I had gone to the doctor sooner.
Interesting. You're like trying to take away the accountability to the situation.
Right. So like that, say something like that, I wish I'd gone to the doctor sooner, kind of embraces the tension of the moment, sort of accepts the anxiety that you feel, and attempts to learn something for the future.
Right. Right.
So that's called upward counterfactual.
But if you could like accept the anxiety that you feel but not learn anything for the future.
Well, then you end up, I mean, then you're just anxious and you don't change anything.
Yeah, sounds good, right?
Yep.
Sounds about right.
So basically what it means is procrastinators focused on how to make themselves feel better now at the expense of drawing insight from what it was that made them feel bad.
Right, okay.
And I think in there is the lesson for how to, it's like really, really uncomfortable, right?
Yep.
The solutions in my mind are going to be difficult and uncomfortable, but ultimately longer lasting than just fixing the symptoms.
Yeah, totally.
So this other thing, in like dealing with procrastination as a time management issue, it's kind of like, it's like telling a clinically depressed person to cheer up, you know, like, oh, you know, you should just do this. Just do this now. Like,
Fuck
what's
up,
the big deal?
Baby. Yeah.
Right. It's like telling a depressed person. And I think that approaching it from that angle makes you understand that it really is an emotional issue.
Mm-hmm. And it also makes it like, it's like, okay, the fact that this is a problem, like procrastination itself is the problem, not the task. And that becomes something that you can then tackle, as opposed to it being, you know, oh my God, I can't research anything about asteroids right now. It's just too hard. I don't want to do
it. It's just too hard. I feel anxious. Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable. Yeah. So I'm going to run away from these feelings and watch 75 episodes of House and watch this
puppy.
Exactly,
because, you know, because those things are not emotionally demanding and you don't care about it.
Depends on the episode.
Yeah, I guess that's true. So, okay, so to break it down into specifics, emotional procrastination basically has two steps. One, we delay action because we feel like we're in the wrong mood to complete a task. Mm-hmm. And two, we assume that our mood will change in the near future.
Okay.
Okay, so some, like, for example, if I take a nap now, I'll have more focus later. Mm-hmm. I totally do that, by the way.
I totally do that. And actually, I do think it's true. I do.
Sometimes it's true, but it's more like the reasons that you do it.
Okay.
But I'm not really a procrastinator, but, like, I totally do that. Mm-hmm. If I eat this cake now, that'll be my cheat for the month and I'll have more willpower. And if I watch TV now, I'll feel relaxed and more likely to call the doctor's office tomorrow morning.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
See, for me, I like to, if I have something that needs to be done, I would much rather wake up like at 4 a.m. to get it done the day of than finish it the night before. And it's because I find when I wake up in the morning, and I do think this is true, when I wake up in the morning, I am at my clearest.
But I think it sounds like you in some ways are able to, like, you know how you work and you're able to manage your procrastination to put yourself in a situation that you can work the best. You know that about yourself.
Then I avoid, you know, researching. And I watch puppies, a lot of puppies.
Well, so you haven't quite figured out how to manage that yet, then.
It's more of a puppy addiction, I think.
I think, knowing you, that that's absolutely true. So the other thing is that we, as human beings, mm-hmm. we only have so much emotional energy. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really replenish. Whatever you start out with that day, you don't, like, just get endless supplies of emotional energy. Mm-hmm. And so putting off an important task makes us feel anxious and guilty, even ashamed. And anxiety, guilt, and shame are really emotionally expensive. Mm-hmm. And it makes us less likely to have the energy to be productive when we have those feelings.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Which makes us less likely to begin the task in the first place, which makes us feel guilty, which makes us tired, which makes us less productive. It's like an endless
cycle. Yep.
These emotions are incredibly taxing. And if you're having, you know, if you don't want to do it in the first place, it just adds to it.
Yeah. It's like the idea that there's actually limited willpower that you can actually have. And if you spend it all in one place or just kind of let it die, mm-hmm. then
like you're just spinning your wheels unnecessarily.
Yeah, you need to manage your fuel.
So when we say, I'll start that project next week, what we're really saying is, I hope that after an arbitrary amount of time, I will be in a better mood to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's exactly true. Uh-huh. You know, but I do think that there is something with projects a lot of the time. I am doing work without doing the work sometimes just mm-hmm. by thinking it through and kind of.
Yes.
So for me, like in college and law school, if I had papers, I used to just, you know, I would agonize in a way. But then mm-hmm. by the time I actually sat down to write it, I had it all figured out.
Well, that's a different thing, though. Like procrastination, mm-hmm. just to be clear, like procrastination is avoiding doing something.
Right.
So if you're thinking about it, if you're organizing in your head, if you're agonizing, whatever you want to call it, that's not procrastinating because you're not avoiding it. You're not looking at videos of puppies singing the thong song, you know? That's procrastinating.
Yeah. I guess it's true if it's a related task. I guess I always just kind of think that on the back burner of my brain, even with the asteroid thing, I just sort of had things sort of going because I would read a bunch of stuff and then watch the puppies, you know, the musical and then get to actually writing.
Right, but, right. So then to get to the argument, the but I work better under pressure argument thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So procrastinators, not naming any names here, are great at justifying their behavior. That they say, like, oh, it's innocuous, or, oh, this it's actually super helpful. I can only work this way. Mm-hmm. Some people say it doesn't matter when a task gets done as long as it's done.
Okay.
And then some people, like I said, believe they work best under pressure.
Right.
But so, okay, one of the first studies to document why this is wrong was published in 1997 in a journal called Psychological Science. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what that journal is about. Just kidding. It rated, thank you for that polite laugh.
You're wrong.
You're like, So it rated college students on an established scale of procrastination and then tracked their academic performance, stress, and general health throughout the semester.
Okay.
So initially, there seemed to be a benefit to procrastination. Students had lower levels of stress compared to others, probably because they weren't doing anything. Mm-hmm. They were just doing fun stuff instead of working. But at the end, the procrastinators had lower grades than other students and higher stress and more illness. they didn't just finish their work later, the quality of it suffered, and so did their well-being and their health.
Interesting. And I think true. It makes me wonder how awesome I could have been in school if I had actually gotten stuff done on time. Yeah,
exactly. So like, as one researcher said, the chronic procrastinator, the person who does this as a lifestyle, would rather have other people think that they lack effort than ability.
Yep. We've talked about this before. Oh, that's so true. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And I would rather not work really hard on something and have it not be good.
Yep.
Was that English? You know what I mean. Versus, you know, working really, really hard on something and potentially having it not work out. Mm-hmm. But that is something that I'm working on a lot right now.
Yeah.
Like trying to, you know, accept the fear of failure, because that's going to be something that's always a part of any useful anything in what you do in life. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. That's what I have in general. And then I have a bunch of stuff of what you can do about this.
All right, cool.
So like I
said,
I think
there's stop.
Yeah, right. Just cut it out. Just cheer up.
Put
a smile on your face. So I think this emotional angle thing has a lot of potential. And there are lots of different methods. And I think it's a lot of it's about finding what works for you and your particular, like, you know yourself better than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what'll work for you and what won't. So deadlines.
Yep.
This is a standard procrastination thing, but I think it's actually pretty useful. So external deadlines are best. That's why I think like work, in addition to not maybe not caring as much about it,
mm-hmm.
You also have deadlines that you're not setting for yourself.
Yeah, that's true. And I know that there's going to be a set amount of time. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm not as in control of my time with work. Like people throw things at me all the time. So
exactly. Internal deadlines, though, are better than no deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So the study that I told you about with the three deadlines for the papers.
Mm-hmm.
So Dan Ariely, who was one of the experimenters, had an interesting and I think useful quote about that is fitting with what we're talking about. He says, although almost everyone has problems with procrastination, those who recognize and admit their weakness are in a better position to utilize the available tools for pre-commitment, and by doing so, help themselves overcome it.
Interesting. So if I told you, hey, I'm going to get this thing done, and you could be like, hey, Kat, you get the thing done?
I think it's that, but I think it's also being like, you know what? I know my specific problem with this is that I care too much. And what will help me is, you know, like just being honest about what your particular issues are
mm-hmm.
can help you find the right tools.
Okay.
I think a lot of people don't want to address those issues. They don't want to think about them.
Right. So if you name it, you can start to understand it.
If you name it, you can start to understand it. And I'm going to get into, I have a little more about that in a second too. Something else I saw this study that if you think of your task in terms of hours or days that you have to do something instead of weeks, months, or years, you're better off. So like in one study, participants were told to imagine they had a newborn and that the child would need to go to college either in 18 years or 6,570 days. And then the researchers found that in the days condition, they planned to start saving money four times sooner for college.
Interesting.
Than those that were in the years condition. Even when controlling for other things like income, age, self-control, all that jazz.
That's shocking to me. Wow.
Right? So something as little as that is like if you have something due, like if it's something due in like 5 days and you put it in like I have X number of hours to do this.
Yeah.
Then that might light a fire under your ass to get it done.
That is so true.
So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I also, a friend, this is something I didn't read, but a friend of mine did this. And I thought it was super awesome that some of the problem with internal deadlines or like self-imposed deadlines is that you're like, well, if I don't do it, you know, who cares?
Right.
It's just me. But making those deadlines meaningful. So I have a friend who made a pact with another friend that if they didn't meet their internal deadlines, they'd have to make a donation to a Republican cause.
Oh, man.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, because you know what? If it weren't a Republican cause, if it were something that you actually believed in, then you would be like, well, it's worth it. It's for a good cause. Whatever.
Yeah, but if it was like some like anti-choice something or like Donald Trump's presidential campaign, that's a good.
I immediately am like, ugh.
Right?
Wow.
So I think that's a great.
That is amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
Idea.
I thought it was so great. So, okay. So that's, so deadlines. Those are deadlines. Then there's the idea of making something more like play than work.
Okay.
And there was this study, I think this is super fascinating, and it just goes to show you that like procrastination isn't inherent. It's a reaction to your emotions that are dictating how you do this. Okay, so the study was that researchers told students they'd be doing a math puzzle.
Okay.
And some students were told that the task was a meaningful test of their cognitive abilities, while others were told that it was designed to be meaningless and fun. Before doing the puzzle, the students were given time when they could either prepare for the task or they could play games like Tetris. Okay, chronic procrastinators only delayed practicing for the puzzle when it was described as a cognitive evaluation.
Huh.
When it was described as fun, they behaved no differently from non-procrastinators.
Interesting.
Right? So it's like, if you are, it's this fear of failure, it's this fear of being found out, imposter syndrome, whatever. If you're just told that it's a fun thing, you will behave the same way as everybody else.
Okay.
It's not just like you work better under pressure, you blah, blah, blah. It's clearly an emotional thing.
Yeah, totally.
So it was evidence that this is really a self-defeating behavior and that procrastinators were trying to undermine their best efforts.
Wow, totally. Okay.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Right. So, okay. And then in keeping with this emotional stuff, so I think this is probably pretty necessary. It's almost like going through therapy by yourself,
mm-hmm.
that you kind of have to analyze the chain of thoughts, feelings, and behaviors that got you off task in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
For example, like instead of just being like, oh, I don't want to research the podcast, or like, oh, I don't want to go to the gym. The example here I have is of the gym, which is why I brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, when I think of going to the gym, so instead of being like, I don't want to go and then not going,
mm-hmm.
you say, okay, when I think of going to the gym, I worry about being the most out of shape person there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thought. Okay. That makes me feel anxious and hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
The feelings. Then I typically find other legitimate activities to distract me, legitimate in quotes, like doing chores, watching videos of puppies,
mm-hmm.
or I might eat something sweet to calm me down. Those
mm-hmm.
are the behaviors. So it's almost like journaling or therapy.
Right,
and
you're
then
dissecting
like,
the steps to the
instead
problem.
Of being this miasma of anxiety, it's
right.
like, here's the thought, here are the feelings, here are the behaviors.
Right, totally.
Like, you kind of have to break that down. I think that takes some emotional work, but it seems to me like that's the stuff that's really going to help you get over it.
Yeah, totally. Oh, awesome. You fixed me, Eden.
Yay! Well, so another thing that you can do, that's kind of like, I think that's really difficult. And then the flip side of that, something that is maybe easier or more positive, is reconnecting with the part of you that originally agreed to the goal in the first place. So like, partner with your internal ally instead of empowering that internal critic.
Totally. Yes.
So absolutely. Being like, I did this, you know, I do this podcast because Eden is the best person ever. And, you know, whatever.
I just want to see her face every single
whatever
week.
Your other reasons are, I'm sure they're not as important as that
no,
one.
That is the number one reason.
Right, but like taking a positive angle on why you do this rather than the reasons you don't want to do it.
Right, that makes
sense.
In
addition to analyzing the rest of it.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah. Something that is, again, a general procrastinator's helpful task is breaking the large goal into smaller, achievable tasks.
Right. Like so writing the list and being like, number one, write list.
Right, exactly.
Two.
Well, that's a real procrastinator's habit, is putting unnecessary things on a list.
Oh, really?
Crossing them off and then adding other unnecessary things.
Oh, see, that's totally what I do that
uh-huh.
all the time. And it makes
yep.
me feel good. I love it. Because I'm like,
yep.
I'm so productive. I bought Post-its.
I mean, if it's things you actually have to do, but just like writing a list and saying make list, that's not like
well, what I like
great.
About that is because then you get the first one, you're like, ah, it's getting,
it.
I'm going places.
That's true. If it's just the one to boost your mood, I think that's okay.
Okay.
But yeah, breaking down the goal into manageable parts makes it seem like makes a big thing seem less daunting.
Mm-hmm.
Also provides the opportunity for multiple successes. So like, I kind of do that when I'm researching the podcast. Like, the first thing I do is find a bunch of articles.
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of like, as I have time, one by one, I read them. And then I'm like, I feel pretty good. I have a handle on this material. And then the next thing I do is I start to take notes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I edit those notes. But
mm-hmm.
those are each discrete tasks. And each one, finishing each one makes me feel really good.
Yeah.
Next thing you can do, set a timer.
Mm-hmm.
So setting aside a predetermined amount of time for work, and particularly if it's less than you think you need.
Mm-hmm. It's like the Pomodoro technique.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. where you the tomato timer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that can help you stay on task for that time period. So like, I think a lot of procrastinators end up losing track of time and just end up like spending the whole day doing one thing that probably could have taken a very, very short amount of time if
mm-hmm.
they had had a timed period where they were doing just that.
Okay.
So similarly, if the internet is a problem, because that is just like made for procrastination, there are lots of programs that will shut off the internet for a period of time or
mm-hmm.
limit the time that you can be on specific sites.
Yeah. This is the problem with the research though, because you're like, well,
right.
You're like on there. It's like, you know, being at the, I don't know, I was about to say it's like an alcoholic being at the bar, but it's not at all like that.
but that's what's so great. So I use a program called Stay Focused
mm-hmm.
and with it, I can just, I can block specific websites. So like Facebook and Twitter
mm-hmm.
and, or I can set them like, I get 10 minutes of time on Facebook today. And then
okay.
it's like, sorry, you know, you're done. So that, I mean, I can still
can
do
you override
Google searches.
It?
No. You can't.
Interesting.
You can use a different browser. It's a Chrome extension, or the one I use is a Chrome extension. So if you were really desperate, you could like open Safari or something, or mm-hmm. or Firefox. But then I feel like you just feel dirty.
Yeah, it's true. You're kind of like, why am I cheating on this thing that I set for myself?
Right, yeah. Exactly. And then the last two options I have here, I'm sort of embarrassed by them, but I feel like they are helpful. One is mindfulness meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Can kind of help you stay in the present, can help you understand yourself. Mm-hmm. And then visualizing success.
I think
I've seen a couple of studies that if you can kind of like visualize the steps that it would take for you to succeed, that it's easier for you to then enact those steps.
Right.
I offer that one with caveats just because I think it can easily bleed into like the whole weird positive thinking, the secret stuff, which I think is crap.
And also it can overwhelm you where you're like, next step, podcast success. But
right,
like,
exactly.
You're like overwhelmed by like, how do I make this good? I'm never going to make this good. Oh God, how do I get there?
Right. Next step, riches.
Yeah, exactly. Next step, fame. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I got. I don't know.
I
thought
this
stuff was super great. That when I saw that emotional angle stuff, I was like, yeah, it's so true.
Totally makes sense. It totally makes sense.
The things that I procrastinate on, this is so weird, but like if somebody leaves me a voicemail, I will just worry about it. Like I know I don't listen to them. I will leave them until I'm pretty sure that whatever message somebody was trying to give me is no longer valid.
Or like old age. Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, whatever they wanted from me, it's been a week, so probably now I can listen to it and I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Right.
Like
whatever
they're
going to try and ask me to do, I don't have to do it anymore because they figured something else out.
Or they contacted me another way or something. But for some reason, it's just voicemails. I just can't handle voicemails.
I think a lot of people are like that. Like I have a couple of friends that are like, why do you leave me voicemails? I never listen to them.
Right. Well actually, Kyle was going to change his outgoing voicemail to say, you should text me or email me. This is 2015. There's no reason to leave a voicemail.
But that would just make me want to leave him.
No, I guess that's true.
Because
you're contrary.
I really am. I just like to really go against the grain.
Yeah, you're just such a live wire. So I don't know. Is this helpful? Like, do you?
Yeah, totally.
I guess I didn't answer if you should worry about it. I feel like, yeah, but like, you know, you should less worry about it and more like try to fix it because it's not. It's not
no,
great
I mean,
habits.
I should worry about it because there's health stuff and there's, you know, it's not good for me emotionally either.
No,
I mean, also, it's not a pleasant feeling. Like, it's not I want to cling to that with, you know, I'm getting something out of it. It's more like, why do I do this?
I think there's some people have the fear that if they don't procrastinate, then like it's sort of a weird backwards thing that if they don't have that pressure at the very end to finish something, that somehow they're not going to be able to produce something that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Too.
Yep.
And that's clearly untrue.
It's really not true. Yeah. It's weird. So, I think there's a sweet spot for me between not having enough time to overthink something and having not enough time to actually get it done. You know? So it's like there's that fine line between because I once I write something or do something, I will edit it until I die.
Yes.
Until someone is like, hey. So
right.
Yeah.
Well, I think that feeds into the same thing too. So maybe when you start sort of analyzing your own anxieties, you can. That will stop being an issue.
When I start thinking
you'll
about
be cured.
How I feel.
You're just 100%, you're just like an angel.
Thank
now.
You.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Cool. Well, hey everybody. You're welcome for fixing all of your problems. I guess.
Yep,
you know,
all of the problems are fixed.
It's the least we can do. Mm-hmm. So you can find us on our website, shouldiworryaboutthis.com, and on Facebook and Twitter at Worry Podcast, on Stitcher and iTunes. And hey, if you've got something that you want us to cover, you can email it to us or tweet it at us, put it on Facebook, put it on Tumblr. I actually forgot the one we did last week, the asteroid one, that was actually a suggestion on Tumblr. We forgot to mention that last time. But yeah, you can do that. That'd be great. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
And we'll catch you next week.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.